Morning.
Morning.
Stomach's gone a bit. I was gonna begin with a joke to kind of break the ice a bit, get myself into it. But this is, it's about integrity, isn't it? And it's quite a hard topic to sort of poke fun at. So someone the other day mentioned that I could get the government involved, but the problem with political jokes is they always get elected. Good. So we're thinking about integrity this morning. What does it mean? Where does it come from? So we're going to have a look, obviously, at what the Bible has to say about integrity, how it commands us to behave as children of God. And that's going to include thinking about what we believe, how we think, and how we act. As leaders in the church, integrity is actually a really important subject. Now, you might think, hang on, I'm not a leader. This is not for me. Well, don't switch off, because you are. You may not be a preacher or somebody on the staff team, more obvious leader. But we are all leaders, aren't we? If you're married, then you're a leader in your home, or you should be. If you're an older brother, say you're a leader to your younger brother. If you've got Christian or non-Christian mates, you can be a leader to them. And if you're single, no friends, no family, I don't think that's very likely. Anyone ticks all those boxes. But if you are, God has a plan for you. So you can start figuring out what that is. Christian men need to have vision. They need to have purpose and conviction. Because there's a soppy image of church out there, isn't there? You can get that just from chatting to people. People think church is for women and old men who can't really be bothered trying anymore. Well, that's the impression I've got from my friends anyway. But I was going to use Cole as an example, as someone who is not old or female, because he was going to come. But Peter. Pete's here. He's not a woman. He's not old. And he's still here. So there we go. That image is all wrong. Right. Men need to reclaim their calling in the church. And for that, we need to be men of integrity. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 tells us, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out." So integrity brings security. That's good. But what is integrity? Integrity is sincerity of heart or pure motives. It means living your life as one consistent whole. And it involves being reliable, reflecting God's faithfulness to his promises by being faithful to our own. Essentially, it's when your attitudes and your words and your behavior match your beliefs and the motives of your heart. It's when your public self and your private self are the same thing. That's integrity. So it's all very well teaching your kids that theft is wrong, but if I see my dad robbing Freddo's out of the drop on a Friday, then I'm not going to listen next time he tells me that theft is bad. That's the impact that it kind of has. So integrity for that would be telling me that theft is wrong and then living out that conviction by not stealing things. So we need to practice what we preach as well. The Bible's very clear that God wants us to be men of integrity. Countless times we're commanded to be blameless in our walk with Jesus. So in Genesis 17, God commands Abraham to walk before him and be blameless. And that command is true of us as well. There needs to be nothing that people can latch onto to bring our witness down. And we need to flee from the inconsistencies between our public and private selves that could be used against us and against God. So who can we look to in the Bible, I'll stop fiddling with this, as a man of integrity? Well, Psalm 78 shed some light on that for us, on the character of King David. Verse 72 tells us that David shepherded Israel with integrity and guided them with a skillful hand. And there's leadership and integrity linked right together there, just for you. I don't switch off. We often put David on a pedestal. I shouldn't have had to say don't switch off twice already, should I really? But we often put him on a pedestal as someone who is too good to match up to. And yes, he was the Lord's anointed. but he was a man as well. And we're all men, right? Right? Be confident. So we can learn from him. Now, David is recorded in the Bible as having an enormous amount of integrity. And we can read, if you go to Psalm 78, how Israel flourished under David's rule. One example of his integrity is one that you're probably well aware of, David and Goliath. Yep. So Saul, the people's king, is sort of shivering behind the rest of his army. And we see David, and to look at him, you would have kind of laughed in his face when he claimed he could take on Goliath. But he's a perfect example of the kind of integrity of faith that we need to be thinking about. See, David claimed that God could save Israel, and then he acted in a way that was in line with what he'd said. So that's integrity. And of course, he battered Goliath and went on to rule Israel. And be encouraged. He was a man like us. And the thing is, for David on the battlefield, integrity could have been very costly. Because he knew that God could save him, but he didn't know that God would save him. And we're reminded of the words of Daniel's friends when they were threatened with the fiery furnace. They said, God will deliver us, but if not. So they didn't know that he would, but they knew that he could. So integrity can be very costly. And I think that's the problem for us, isn't it? Integrity in the workplace could mean being overlooked for a promotion because you're not ruthless enough. It could mean laughter from your colleagues because you've taken a stand on something really small, like I'm not going to steal pens from work. And integrity at home can cost as well. If you remember Job's wife after he'd just lost everything, and she says to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. I hope no one's had that experience. And it would have been so easy for him to just sort of tack it off and give up. But he calls her foolish and he basically tells her to pipe down and puts her in her place. On the positive side of things, integrity might cost you as you have to give up certain habits, maybe even sins for your wife. If you're really wanting to live out your faith in guiding her and building her up, there'll be certain things you might have to forego. If she needs help with her faith, for example, off goes the football, which is not a problem for me. But I'm told that men like football. So integrity is hard. It does cost. It means we have to give things up that we might like doing. But actually, it's far more costly to chuck your integrity aside. If you think about 2 Samuel 11, it's a famous episode. David was chilling on the roof of his palace. He wasn't doing anything particularly sinful. But he let his guard down and sin was crouching at the door. Lustful eyes led to adultery with Bathsheba and then murder. And if David can mess up so badly, so can we. We can't allow the temptations to fill us with forgetfulness of God's word and his promises to us. We need to stay alert and stay on that secure path. And that means taking time regularly to assess how we're thinking, how we're behaving, whether our actions, for example, line up with what we profess on a Sunday morning. That's just one example. Because when we sin, we're despising God and his word. If you're not relating to him properly, how can you expect to relate to anybody else properly? So even the most seemingly private sins have far-reaching consequences, because you are never the only one affected. David's sin had nationwide consequences. And let's not forget also that when we don't walk with integrity, people can just stop listening to us. We might still be saying wonderful things about God, and of course he can still use that. But in the end, all people hear is a hypocrite spouting words that he's not even applied to himself. So our witness can be damaged. And now God knew all about what David had done, didn't he? And so God already knows what we're up to. It's only a matter of time before others do as well. So if there is anything at all holding any of us back, anything that's getting in the way with a relationship with God, then it's time to change. It's time to expose ourselves to God and turn back to him and expose ourselves to other people for support and prayer and guidance. So good questions to be asking. How's my prayer life? How often do I get into God's word? Do I have little sinful thoughts and patterns of behaviour that I just allow to kind of trundle on? Maybe I don't really want to get rid of them. Pick one at the moment. Do I ever use the internet inappropriately? Am I overbearing of my responsibility at work? I think all of us could tick something off on that list. And of course, there are loads of other things as well. But we need to sort ourselves out before we can lead others. That's the thing. The damage you can do to other people when you're leading them with such a lack of integrity can be catastrophic. Now just imagine being the reason you overhear a conversation and someone saying, "No, I'm not interested in that Jesus guy." Imagine that your lack of integrity is the reason they're giving for that. That would be a horrible position to be put in. So, but is it even possible to live with integrity? You might be thinking, even David, the Lord's anointed, messed it all up. So what hope is there for us? Well, happily, there is one man who managed it. It's not Chris. It is the true king and the true Lord's anointed that David points us to as our King Jesus. Now, he lived and died with his integrity intact. He was the true man, the man that we should all strive to be. He showed us exactly how a man should behave in this world and how a man should relate to his God. His actions always lined up perfectly with his heart, and his behavior flowed from a heart devoted to his Father. So he is the man that we should all want to be like. I hope we all agree with that. But just to say that he's an example to follow is a bit harsh. We're not just going to say, look at him, do that, because we can't. And that'll never work. But here's the good news. Jesus doesn't just ask us to follow him. He enables us to follow him. So he walked with integrity his whole life, yeah. But he didn't just do that for the sake of it, just for himself, did he? He came to earth to live the perfect life so that we could then have it for ourselves. So we know that as he died on the cross, there was this incredible swap that took place. And he took on all our shattered integrity and our brokenness, and he gave us his perfect track record. So it is as if we have lived his perfect life. As Paul explains in 2 Corinthians, Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus' righteousness is given to us through faith. Don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that we all now live perfect lives. We still sin. But now we have a choice. We're not slaves to sin anymore. We're free to live for God. And that is a huge privilege. Integrity is actually attainable. Of course, it'll be hard work. And we're going to mess up. But we've been made clean to get back up, keep on going, or get back on the secure path. So, take the opportunity to change. If there's anything in your private life that is you wouldn't want in your public life, get rid of it. Speak to someone. Speak to God. Don't let it carry on. If it's a mess, repent. Turn back to Jesus, because Proverbs is right. Your crooked ways will be found out. So it's time to give it all to him and get back to walking securely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can meet up like this, that we can meet up in peace and safety. To have men's breakfast, and thank you for all the other events that are on at St. John's, St. Peter's. Thank you for the privilege of being called your children. Thank you that we now have a choice, that we aren't slaves to sin, but that we can choose to do things for you. Thank you that you've brought us out of the darkness and into the light and given us that choice. And thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, through whom, by faith, we can be heirs of an inheritance that will never spoil or fade, waiting for us in heaven. Amen.